Our gospel lesson this morning comes to us from Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Listen again for God's word to us this day. Now, when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and then praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's mother and father were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us and use us, Spirit of the living God. Fall afresh on us. Amen. So for the last 4 weeks, we've been lighting candles and saying prayers and singing songs, reading scripture and making proclamations regarding God's radical, world-altering action of coming to us in the flesh of a first century Palestinian Jew named Jesus. You may have noticed the congregational response that we sang each week was a different verse of the hymn, "People Look East." Through Advent, we sang of preparing ourselves for what was coming, all the while not really knowing what exactly to expect. Nonetheless, we joyfully joined our voices to sing of the expectation. People look east and sing today. We looked east. And every week, for love, the song said. We looked east for love. Love the guest, love the rose, love the bird, love the star, Indeed, it was love the Lord on the way. We looked, and as we looked, we longed. We had visions of the manger scene. It was just here a few days ago. We imagined a silent night, a holy night, in a little town of Bethlehem, where a little Jewish babe laid in Mary's lap, sleeping. And as we imagined, we also tried at times to tune our own hearts to a longing for love the Lord to come into our lives today. This morning, as we are celebrating the gift that arrived those many centuries ago in such mean estate to a poor young woman and her bewildered carpenter fiancé, we must find a way to respond to this gift today, even though we too are a bit bewildered by it all, at how Jesus, born to us so long ago and yet promised to come again, is a gift that we have both already received and yet still long for. How are we to respond to this? And the struggle is real. Our text today from Isaiah and Luke can help us with the struggle by giving us some examples of what faithful, joyous response to the very real gift that God has so generously given in Jesus Christ. The gift of salvation, Isaiah tells us, is so amazing, so generous, that the people of God feel like they themselves are a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. Because, in the words of Walter Brueggemann, the gift means altering circumstances of the oppressed, brokenhearted, captives, and prisoners. That God will reorder the social reality into a viable, equitable, working community. In Luke, we see how this gift causes the elderly Simeon and Anna to spring to life in thanks and praise and testimony. This is the gift that we've been given, and what a gift! But how's it work? 'Tis the season of giving, but also receiving. Properly receiving a gift can be a lot more complicated than it needs to be, but we've all been given things that we just don't know what to do with. This year, Ellen and I received a gift that took us a minute to figure out from someone who we love deeply who will remain nameless, and it was her mom. It looks like a little knit tube top, but for a ferret. And it has a little squirrel on it. And as far as we can figure, it might be a koozie for a wine bottle, but then again, it could be a ferret tube top. I mean, how to respond to such creative generosity? But I don't have too much room to talk myself. My sister likes to tell people what a terrible gift giver that I was before I met Ellen. One year when I was in seventh grade, and she was probably in, fourth grade? Yeah. I got her a Christmas present from Claire's at the Tallahassee Mall, where I figured every fourth grade girl would love a present. And it was a little jewel-encrusted pink pocket knife that had the word diva written on it. And as I remember it, she loved it at the time, but responding to a gift is a lifelong process, I'll remind her. It's not always easy to respond with excitement and joy to a gift that we don't really understand. How are we to respond to a gift that means liberation for the oppressed, justice for the mistreated, forgiveness of sin? I'm not sure we really know what to do with this. You might have seen the video recently of two young British children who are given an early Christmas present from their dad. Anyone see this? Good. I think that their responses to his gifts are a good image for us. The little boy, and these are very British little children, The little boy, Louis, he's probably 5, and his sister, Connie, about 3, are sitting at the kitchen counter as their dad asks what they want Santa to bring them. Louis wants some kind of watch, and Connie says she wants a Princess Barbie and a Ken the King. He tells them since they've been really good, they can each open one present early. And they are excited, to say the least. Louis is quite confident that this will be his watch. Connie opens hers first, and after a bit of struggle with the paper, she gets it open, and she turns it over in her hand. She's a little confused because it's an onion. It's not Ken the King, she says. She's like 3, remember. It's not Ken the King, she says. It's my present, and she hugs the onion to her chest gleefully. And Louis, at this time, has gotten his present open, and he holds it up. A banana? He says this with this confused smile, and he's turning over the fruit in his hand. They are quiet for a moment as they look at their gifts, and then Connie holds up her onion because she's figured it out. It's a pumpkin! Her big brother informs her, no, no, it's an onion, and mine's a banana. She squeals, an onion! Their father is speechless behind the camera in the faces of his children's sheer delight at their Christmas produce. Louis holds the banana in front of his face like a smile. Thank you for my banana, he says. And Connie holds her onion proudly and exclaims, a pumpkin. Louis says again, thank you for my onion. She quietly studies her onion as the skin is just falling off of it. And she says so sweetly, thank you for my onion. Louis and Connie respond with sheer joy and authentic gratitude to their father in spite of his prank. Sometimes I think we modern Christians, with all of our material luxury and relative comfort, could use a little help responding to the gift that God has given us. For me, personally, it takes a little work to get to that place of praise and thanksgiving for the sheer fact that I get to live this life with the people of God surrounding me with all of their love, and that I get to live with the gift of faith, that through Jesus Christ I am saved and therefore never separated from God the Creator. It is a gift that changes everything. It is a gift that we are all about to witness take place in the life of Rebecca Frampton through the waters of her baptism. I myself, I have to take stock of that gift each morning before I pick up my phone and get out of bed, often in that order. But rarely does this profound truth feel like the reordering of the social reality that it is. And seldom does it cause me to squeal with delight with a banana-sized smile or feel like I myself am a beautiful crown in the hand of God, or fill me with the joyful praise and peace that Simeon felt, or cause me to tell everyone that I can find about their redemption through Jesus the way Anna does. Most days I need a little guidance. What exactly to do with this gift? Some instructions on how it works. So I read a bit of scripture in the morning and some of the story of Jesus. And that's usually a pretty good place to start. Then I encounter the people of God, and at that point I am well on my way. Soon, even the trees around the little pond in my neighborhood are lifting their arms in praise as if they, like Simeon, are embracing the Christ child and showing the entire world their amazing gift that we all get to share in. So maybe that's just it. Encountering Christ again and again, the way we do in Scripture and in prayer, the way we do as we gather as a people of God in this place and hear of each other's sins and remind each other that Jesus has already forgiven us no matter what. When we sprinkle a little warm water on the brow of a baby and tell her about how much God has already loved her and will love her forever. As we remember again that we too, ourselves, are so precious and vulnerable and loved in the arms of God, and it causes us to promise to be a little bit like Anna and tell each other about the gifts of Jesus' grace for us, and that we promise to tell those children, and before the water has even dried on their heads, that God is blessing us and loving us, even though we will fall sadly short a lot of the time. This is the gift, and these are our responses. Maybe we should give ourselves a bit of a break for Christmas and not beat ourselves up too much about how Emily Post says it ought to be. My friend Charlie Kauser wrote, "The gift of Jesus means liberation from the strains and traps of oughtness." That liberation helps us then respond as we feel we are called to, not as we feel required. Sarah and Will, you'll bring your baby forward in a few minutes to participate in that ancient and holy rite of baptism. And I can't help but think of our gospel story this morning. Mary, being the good Jewish girl that she is, comes into the temple with her one-month-old baby to respond as her religion instructed she ought to after giving birth, bringing a couple turtle doves because she couldn't afford the appropriate sacrifice, which was a lamb. But to the surprise of all, the Holy Spirit stirs things up, and Simeon grabs the baby from her arms and sings of his destiny, filled with praise and with peace. The 84-year-old widow, who, as far as anyone knows, has never even left the temple and spent most of her life in prayer and fasting, she's probably about as much a fixture and easy to overlook as that baptismal font or communion table. But suddenly she springs to life, and while no one remembers exactly what she said, we do know it sounded a lot like good news to those people who needed to hear it. And as the two elderly Jews danced and sing and shout the good news, there stands Mary with all the treasure in her heart, and Joseph thinking, God only knows what. As God's Holy Spirit shows them exactly what responding to the gift of their child looks like. A gift that is not just for them, but that is for all. It's Christmas, and we've been given an extraordinary gift in Jesus Christ. And while it matters how we respond to the gift, what is really important today is that we do respond. People look east and sing today. Love the Lord is on the way. Amen.